Welcome to the FinGen Show. I'm your host, Faris Alami, and this episode is brought to you by Connecting Dots Globally, a nonprofit focused on emerging leaders of youth, teaching them entrepreneurship, STEM, and global trade. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Faris.
Thank you so much for making the time to be here, and thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Maybe, as you know, we might have listeners who might not be familiar with who Jonathan is. So maybe you could just tell me briefly about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So I'm in Greenville, South Carolina. I am founder and CEO of Logical Analytics, L-O-G-I-C-L-E. And I have been in the data analytics space for what seems like all my life, but really professionally and seriously for the last probably 10, 15 years.
Fantastic. So when we were talking earlier, one of the things you said that was really intriguing is, why did you start this? What made you start this 10 years ago?
I was originally in education and got a humanities background. And when I figured out that analytics and data science was really, really my thing, naturally I went to other companies and IT providers and managed service providers and other corporate entities that needed that and worked as an individual contributor, and slowly started to realize that I could probably do a better job and be more effective and do more of the things that I like to do if I was doing it on my own. And so, at first I started in just doing sort of consulting here and there while still doing a W-2. And then I've gotten to the point where now I've got the company, and we started out doing that more individual contributor to outsource data science work. But I just finished my doctorate in computer science earlier this year. And that research has become the focus of the company, where, we're not really, about doing the nuts and bolts, for example, for doing, Power BI work or Tableau or that sort of thing, but really working at a broader scale on BI adoption in companies, data culture, really being data driven. And the research itself is specifically around sort of analytics personality types. We call them aptitudes, with the APT, capitalized. And that's all about really understanding that everybody sees data differently in companies. Same data, different people see it differently. And how do we really, not just overcome that, but use it to our advantage to drive any organization forward?
That's so cool. It's kind of like the cup half empty or half full. It's the same cup, just depends how you look at it and the mindset that you have. And
absolutely.
Or you could say half full of air versus half full of water. So mm-hmm. There are all kinds of ways you could look at the same cup with lots of ways to communicate it. Fabulous. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm sure you faced, I'm going to call it the entrepreneurial dilemma in multiple times, meaning that you started this thinking that you could do it on your own or you could outsource some other things. And you probably had some ups and downs and, you had to face some challenges, but it sounds like you kept moving forward. And that's one thing I always tell people, you just got to keep moving forward. You just can't stop. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could share with us one of the moments where you felt, oh boy, I'm going down really fast.
Yeah.
What are my backup plans or what are my options? Maybe just one of those moments. I mean, it could be sure. The same that it was up, but I'm just curious.
It's, I actually sat down a few weeks ago and wrote out sort of all of those moments that have been strung together in a narrative of when I could have given up. And there were a lot of them. And where I am, I'm in upstate South Carolina, and we are becoming more and more known for being an entrepreneur hotspot. And the messaging around that by all the different organizations and accelerators and things is, change the world from here. We'll help everybody. You can do whatever you want. And so for the uninitiated, if you see that and you go, "Ooh, okay, I'll help," or I could use some help. I've got this great idea. I mean, I spent the last 3 years of my doctoral work validating it. I've got customers. This is a no-brainer. And when the response from all of those agencies and helpers are either, "We have no idea what you're talking about," or "You're not a fit," or "Can we see a demo?" or "What's your exit plan?" And I don't have an exit. I want to build a company. I don't want to build something and then run. I'm not planning on being bought in 6 months and retiring, never working again. So when you say all those things, all those helping organizations start disappearing. And after about a year of that, and really getting on the hamster wheel of talking to the same people over and over and over, you start to internalize and think, well, okay, maybe I don't have a good idea. Maybe the problem is me. And I sat down with an associate of one of the accelerators that actually was very helpful to me here. And he said, just do this, start reaching out on LinkedIn and reach out to people that are similar in your space and just say what you're doing, what your research is, and go from there. And I did that. And the connections that I've made and the opportunities that I've found, and just the encouragement just from that one thing has been more valuable than any startup, accelerator, venture capital talk, guru talk, any of that junk. Forget that. Just talk to people and don't internalize that, hey, it's okay if you're not a fit. They're looking for the next Google. They're looking for the next Uber, like you said before. They're not looking for these, what they call lifestyle businesses, which are meant as a thinly veiled insult. I think it's okay if you're not, the next Google. Don't base your worth off of the fact that some venture capitalist isn't going to get rich off of, you.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And I want to touch actually on the whole exit idea to discuss a little further. But let's take a break and we'll be right back after this short break. All right, welcome back, everyone, and thank you for being with us. This is the FinGen Show. I'm your host, Faris Alami, and today is Jonathan sharing with us his journey of an entrepreneur, being an entrepreneur and starting a business. And Jonathan, one of the things you mentioned I want to just touch on, the whole exit or, building a company to exit. I think this is a cool topic to talk to entrepreneurs about. I think one of the things that, to your point, a lot of this accelerator incubators, most of them focus, as you know, on high tech, high growth, to your point. So they're looking to see, are you going to be the next Google, next Amazon, whatever. But there are some things that potentially could benefit everyone else, such as the exit. And I think we need to get, as a ecosystem, someone who's in the ecosystem, I think we need to come up with a better wording than exit, because a lot of times we say exit and most people think, I don't want to leave the business, I want to build a business. And I think one of the things that the exit conversation that I usually have with the people that I'm working with, it's about, God forbid something happens to you, what do you want to do with the business? What are your ideas? What are the things that you want to keep moving? And I think if we shift the conversation from exit to, contingency plan, or, moving forward plan, or, after life plan or something like that, I'll have to come up with a fancy name. I'm not a marketing guru. I think that it could be more meaningful to a lot of other people as well, to your point. Anyway, so thank you for sharing that insight. So as you were feeling down, I mean, there might be other moments, and I'm sure there are lots of them, that you felt that you're touching the sky and the world is opening and things are happening. Would you share with us one of those moments where you felt like the world is opening?
It actually relates to the exit conversation. One of my sort of mini nets that I cast out was in an angel investor group. And again, starting early, I'm a reasonably smart person. I understood the difference between venture capitalist and angel investor and all that. So I threw some stuff out in angel investor land. And you know, the one response that I got that turned out to be one of the best connections ever. The first response from this person was, you know, you're too early, too soon. And I've heard that so many times. And I was at that point, I was at a pretty low spot, and bless him. I didn't like unload on him, but I was a little less patient than I would probably normally be, because I've said, okay, I've heard this now probably 500 times. Can you tell me what that means? Can you tell me why? And we had more and more conversations, and he is now my equal business partner in this company. On top of that, he's brought me in as a partner in his accelerator. And we are now talking with other companies that are looking for advice and strategic partners and that, and all of that. And so what started as me thinking that I needed an angel investor just to drop some money in so I could get by, turned into an investor and partner that was just so helpful, far beyond just simply dropping money in. And I look at where we were and where I was mentally as a company and mentally before we did that and after, and the growth has been exponential. And, you know, I'm still bootstrapping. I'm still, really underwriting our development with doing what amounts to basic consulting work in this company. But that's okay, because I get to hone the product more. And I also get to develop the business with my business partner, who he's the one that's got the business mind of things. This is the guy that's been in, he's been in all these accelerators and venture capitalist firms. And he's been in this field for a long time, and he sees the gaps. I don't, he sees the holes. And between the two of us, I think we're building something, really powerful. And that was definitely going in very short order from a very low point to what amounts to, I think, one of the best developments in the history of the company so far, and probably of all time.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's actually a great segue for the next question, but I can't let all of that juice.
It's a lot.
There's so many nuggets there. I mean, we could spend days just on that last answer. Unfolding, asking for help, unfolding, being vulnerable, unfolding, just being open, unfolding, listening, right? Because you could have chosen, like, you don't give me money, I don't want to talk to you. Right. You chose to say, well, let's unfold this idea. Let's see what this is all about. Yeah. So powerful, Jonathan. That's really, and I appreciate you sharing that, because a lot of times people get stuck in one way or another. And I always talk about, I call it the third stage of business development, is where you are having some business and you think you just need to do more by having more money. Mm-hmm. And that's usually the most dangerous stage of business, because actually more money could mean that you lose more money faster because you're not really getting it correctly, or you don't have a clear business model, or there are all kinds of things that could happen. And to your point, having some inside person that to share this, endeavor with is much more powerful than the check that he would have written you for whatever amount, because that insights, I've had somebody ask me, why should I pay you? What I asked for a price for an hour or for a workshop, and they're like, why should I pay this price? I said, listen, you can go do it yourself. You don't need me. You could watch some YouTube. You could play a YouTube. The only reason why you pay me is because all these amazing people that I worked with have given me a lot of insights that when I say something, I'm seeing with the backup data that therefore, if you ask for more, I could use different examples to unfold it. And you may like it, you may not, but that usually helps. And exactly what you did, right? Which is you asked for help, you listened to what was happening, and you acted to it. And I appreciate you saying that, because my next question, which is awesome for what you built on, is sometimes you, even if you hear something, it might not make sense to you because you're not ready for it, right? So maybe if you were to go back and advise young you 2 years ago, 5 years ago, when you were starting 10 years ago, what would you tell yourself then that you know now that you wish you'd have known? Not necessarily to your point, not necessarily that you would listen to it or you would have been able to accept it, But what would you tell someone that maybe just getting started today or thinking about growing and stuck somewhere? What would you tell those two people? Could be two different messages, could be the same, but I would love to hear that.
I think, so I've worked with what we could call three different partners in some way or another. And each of them has what has been what I've thought would be the complementary part to what I don't have. So, you know, I'm the tech guy. I'm the idea. I've got the product. The business acumen is not my strong suit. So, my thought, again, being very green, is okay, you pair a tech person with a good business person, and you should, in 6 months, you should have something great. And boy, it does not work like that. And, you know, I've had instances where, again, going back to the sort of the entrepreneur resources, if I had just had an honest conversation with somebody, I would have avoided at least one major mistake of partnering with someone who is essentially on a blacklist here. And boy, I wish I'd have known that. But I think all of those, it's just like you said before about the money, you're getting it the wrong way. The same can be said for knowledge. And I think if I certainly, you know, the me from 2 years ago, it'd be nice if we didn't have to go through all that we did, but I think there's a number of valuable lessons there. And so it's not going to happen overnight. And I know everybody says that. You talk to anybody who does a TED talk or a webinar and they're like, it's not going to happen overnight. There's all this other rah, rah, yay, entrepreneur stuff. But that's very real. And maybe, you know, the one thing I would do differently is maybe I should have spent more time with listening and really, really, really honing the product. And, you know, some of that couldn't happen until I finished my research. So I understand I can't beat myself up too much about it. But I would just say, listen, and it's okay if it's not going to happen so quickly. Think about who you're surrounding yourself with. Think about, does working with this person stress me out more? Or do I feel excited when I think about, hey, here are the things that we can do together? That last one would have saved me a lot of stress, because there was a point where I was working with somebody and they stressed me out a lot. And being able to just say, you know, this isn't working. It's okay to say that. It's okay to fire clients. It's okay to fire partners. You're not beholden to anybody.
Wow. Jonathan, I feel like we can spend hours. I want to thank you for making the time. I want to thank you for sharing. And thank you for, you know, one of the things I appreciate about entrepreneurs and having dealt with thousands of them over the years, just the candid conversation, right? Because you're not sugarcoating anything. You're not trying to hide anything. You're just being honest about your journey. And I really appreciate that, Jonathan.
Thank you
for the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Faris Elmi, and this is the FinGen Show. Jonathan, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.